Hi, welcome. And we are here for Being a Community-Centered Taproom. How can your taproom give back? I'm Roxanne Westendorf. I'm on the BA Board of Directors, and I represent the AHA on the BA Board. If you've been to a seminar already here, you'll have heard this stuff before, but please take your seats, move to the center if possible, so folks can, as they come in late, can actually have an easy place to sit. Stun or do not disturb, please, you know, turn your phasers to stun so that we don't have disturbances. We realize somebody might need to take a call or something. Please just leave the room and then come back in when your call's over. We're going to be taking questions through the Slido app. So if you use your phone and scan that QR code, you'll be able to ask questions during the presentation. At the end, they'll be able to answer them. You can also upvote questions. So if you have the same question as somebody else and you really want to make sure it gets covered while we're physically here, you can do that. There, you'll also be able to access the answers and stuff after the seminar. And finally, at the end of the seminar, on your CBC app, there's a way you can enter feedback for each of the sessions. So please make sure you go to the session and fill out the feedback survey. It's like a couple questions. It takes 30 seconds, and it really helps for next year's planning. Okay, so I'd like to introduce the your speakers today for this, and they'll give you the information about themselves, so just this. First is Bernardo Simmons Valenzuela. He is the co-owner and head brewer of Dirtbag Ales Brewery and Taproom from Hope Mills, North Carolina. Second, we have Christina Strauss, taproom manager at Incendiary Brewing Company in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And finally, Jamar Valentine. He's the regional general manager of Bevana, and he recently moved from Noda to Bevana, and he's based in Charlotte, North Carolina. So take it away, guys.
Thank you. All right. How's everybody doing? My name is Bernardo Ortido. I'm with Dirtbag Ales, and we are in Cumberland County, North Carolina. So Cumberland County itself is the fifth largest county in North Carolina by population. It's got a large unincorporated area, with Fayetteville being its largest city. There are tons of small towns around it and little communities, one of which being Hope Mills, which is where we decided to settle at back in 2014. And much of that area is it's pretty rural just around it. Part of the largest part of our population in Cumberland County, though, is going to be Fort Bragg, and that brings about 250,000 people to our area coming from all around the United States. There's five major commands there, and they do have a standing order basically where they can deploy. So at any moment, like 10% of our population can leave, but with that also comes different opportunities in which we can help give back through different military organizations. So that's a little bit about Cumberland County and the Sandhills area of North Carolina, and Chris is going to tell you about the Foothills area.
Hi, I'm Chris. I do manage two different locations, but the location we're talking about today is in downtown Winston-Salem. Winston's pretty centrally located in North Carolina. You'll see our cityscape over there, and we're in what is called the Bailey Power Plant. It was named after Bailey Brothers Tobacco before being bought by R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. You'll see the name on the smokestacks there. That's an easy way to identify our building. R.J. Reynolds, if you've never heard of it, they're the ones that produce American Spirits in Camel City, or Camel Cigarettes, which is what gave Winston the nickname Camel City. This company was very important in the growth of Winston-Salem. It provided a ton of jobs for the residents, including people with disabilities, a lot of minorities during the Civil Rights Movement, but also provided a lot of income for the rural farmers surrounding the area, so it had a really big impact on the growth of this area. And it's still a very prominent business in Winston-Salem. It is an international company, so it brings a lot of people to the area as well. The backside of the building is called the coal pit, and those trestles are original to the building. That's where the trains brought the coal, dumped it in the pit, hence the name, and then it was conveyed into the building and burned for energy, and that's where Incendiary actually got its name. So you'll see our patio there, and that's where most of our customers like to enjoy when the weather is nice especially, and that's where we will have most of our events that I'll be talking about today. And so this area is known as Innovation Quarter, and it is just a small example of how Winston has been growing and being revitalized over the past 10 years. And so maybe one day we'll be on the same level as Charlotte.
So I came from Noda Brewing Company in Charlotte, and I learned a lot of lessons at Noda Brewing, which I have been able to carry out and expand with Bivana now. If you're not familiar with Noda Brewing Company, they are in Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte is certainly one of the larger metropolitans in the country. It is the fifth largest metropolitan in the country. It is full of hospitals, education, certainly sports teams, and healthcare workers are abundant, as well as finance and banking. So certainly that brings a certain demographic of people to the city, but doesn't necessarily speak to what happens in the unique tap room that is there. In addition to being in Uptown Charlotte, Bivana started from a small brewery in the Lake Norman area called D9 Brewing. And D9 Brewing has a location there in the small town of Cornelius, as well as in a small rural town called Newton, North Carolina, and another small rural town, Hendersonville, North Carolina. We also have a tap room in Uptown Charlotte in the middle of the hustle and bustle, and we also manage a tap room down in Tampa, Florida. So each one of these areas are certainly unique, and I believe can speak to many of the tap rooms that those of you that are here today also access.
So one of my favorite events that we host is our vendor markets. And these are really fun. They have a variety of craft goods that everyone brings. And people just love coming and grabbing a beer, locally made, browsing different crafts and boutiques and goods that people have made locally as well. It's also very family friendly. We do have a lot of activities for the kids as well. And this is really good for supporting other businesses in your area. A lot of these people, it's their primary way of making money. Sometimes they're doing it on the side just for fun, or they're trying to step out into a new business. So they do these vendor markets in order to start that. If you don't have a space to do this on a grand scale like what we have in the Coal Pit, it's very easy to allow vendors to come and do a pop-up on the weekend where they just have one tent at a time. It doesn't cost you anything. It's providing an opportunity for someone to start their new business. Your customers are seeing something new that they haven't seen before. A lot of times they're doing their own promotion and thus also promoting your company as well. And it's very easy to pair these with other holidays too. If there's ever an opportunity to include dogs, do it. So this picture was taken at our Halloween market. You can see the person walking down the stairs is actually dressed up like the Mad Hatter. He was one of our vendors, and we kind of turned it into a trunk-or-treat sort of thing for the kids, too. So mom and dad got to shop and drink beer. The kids got to collect candy, and then we had a costume contest. And dogs are very important to us, so we include them in everything that we do. We also had a small business Saturday market where we had Santa and Mrs. Claus come out, hang out with the kids while mom and dad shopped, and they got to tell them all the things they wanted. And Santa and Mrs. Claus probably had just as much fun as the kids and booked their hotel the very next day for the next year. They couldn't wait to come back out. But my favorite thing about these is that I don't have to plan these. If you're a manager that has multiple hats like I do, something on this scale can seem pretty daunting. But there are third-party coordinators that this is all they do is plan markets. They take care of collecting the vendor fees, doing the layout, doing the promotion. They have the insurance and everything, too. And because they are usually also a vendor, they have a vested interest in making sure that it is a total success. Because if they don't do well, no one else does well, no one else wants to come back. But we have a lot of foot traffic, so most people really enjoy coming to our place. And you know, it's a really great way to get the community together. Another way that we support our community is by hosting local fundraisers. We choose to stick with the local organizations, or at least the local chapter of bigger organizations. That way we have the most direct impact on our community as we possibly can. And there's a lot of organizations out there, so we choose to help the kids and help the animals. And you have to really kind of break down what is important to you. Otherwise, it's going to be impossible to really decide who you want to support and who you don't, who you can't support, really. So for a few examples, we have Shred, which is an art-based show, really, that an auction that is made on skateboard decks, and it helps kids with extraordinary disabilities. It helps family, you know, provide gas, hotel accommodations for their treatments. We have Alex's Lemonade. We support the local chapter. A good friend of ours runs it, and we raise a lot of money for that each year. Project X is actually a program that helps kids with gang involvement and the ones that are at risk and trying to get out of gangs. That one's really important to us. Riverwood Riding Facility is a therapeutic riding program for people with kids specifically with physical and mental disabilities. The animals, we always choose to support the Humane Society and ARF, but we also host an event each year called Sips for Snips. It's a low-cost spay and neuter program to actually help fight overpopulation and not just finding homes. So different examples of how we narrow it down to children and animals, but there's a variety of organizations within those. With the different organizations that are helped, there's a variety of ways to support them. Some of them are important enough that you want to do an actual fundraising night where you do a percentage of sales or a dollar per beer sort of donation. For Project X and Alex's Lemonade, we do a dollar per Honey Blonde. It's usually our lowest cost to make, but also our most popular, so it's a win-win situation. We had an employee whose mom lost her house to a fire, and we did a percentage of sales on a trivia night for them. Trellis Supportive Care is another local organization, and for them, we actually donate beer to their 5K and their Kentucky Derby party. There's a cancer fundraiser festival coming later this year that we donated kegs to. A lot of organizations will also do raffles and auctions, so it's really easy to donate a merchandise basket. A lot of times it's $20 worth of purchase, but it's valued at $75 sort of thing. And at the very least, if you can't donate anything, you can always give them a location to host their event. They can grab a table in the corner, do their own t-shirt sales. You can give them a hashtag, share their post. It doesn't cost you anything, but you're still giving them an opportunity to spread their cause. And you can't always say yes, and that is okay. Don't feel guilt-tripped into supporting something that you don't feel passionate about or that you just don't have the financial means to support. It's okay. You can just say that you are committed to something else, and you know, you need to be proud of who you support. But speaking of passion, one of the other things that we like to do in our community and we're very passionate about is our music scene. We have a summer concert series called Coal Pit Live with nationally known artists, Morgan Wade, Gin Blossoms, Fuel, Lucero, a few to name. This brings a lot of new people to the city. This tourism helps other people and other businesses in the community as well. They're staying in hotels, they're eating in restaurants, they're shopping in shops. And these are so well attended because they are free events. We don't charge a cover charge. We just hope that they buy lots and lots of beer while they're there. One of my favorite things I've heard someone say is there was a dad said he went to all these concerts when he was in college, and now he's just thrilled that he gets to bring his kids back. And it's such a safe environment and very family-friendly that it's fun for everybody. We do also support a lot of local musicians. We have local music every Thursday, and now with the new location, we do Friday and Saturday as well. We just had a local musician showcase this past weekend. It was the first time ever, and it's going to probably be an annual event. It went so well. We had six bands back-to-back, and it's just amazing to see how much support these local musicians get, and they did all original music, so there was a lot of really new talent that people hadn't got to see before. And I know what you're thinking, these sound very expensive, and that's because they are. So we reached out to other local businesses to help sponsor, and you know, you want this to be a win-win situation. They get a lot of new promotion, they get their logo on the banner on your website, you blast it in your newsletter, and they're helping you cover the costs to pay for the musicians and pay for all the promotion fees. And you can match your sponsors based on your event. So the Coal Pit Live event, we got someone as big as Mercedes-Benz of Winston-Salem and Greensboro. And then for the local showcase, to really highlight the localness of it, we got a lot of smaller local businesses. Most of them were just in downtown Winston-Salem, and they had so much fun. We gave them beer tickets to come out and enjoy the event, and it was a really big success. But.
So, you know, we're talking to a room full of professionals here. You've all been around. You certainly have learned lessons in life, and you all know a lot of things. But a quote that I keep hearing that keeps coming back to me is that the people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. And that will drive the difference it makes to connect yourself to your community in more ways, to have your community also connect back to you. Obviously, Chris mentioned supporting the local organizations, and I fully believe in supporting the local nonprofits. Something that's been near and dear to my heart is the organizations that connect with the underprivileged or marginalized. And certainly I've seen with Noda Brewing Company that they had great partnerships with an organization called Running Works. And through the partnerships there, that led to many other great relationships around the city where people believe in supporting them because of the work that they know that they did with Running Works. And it didn't necessarily take a lot of effort. It didn't take a lot of donation or funds, but it took just being there and being supportive by providing that space in some of the same ways that Chris referred. Additionally, down in Tampa, Florida, thanks to Arrived's donation feature, we created an opportunity and a relationship with Hillsborough Education Foundation, which certainly helps kids that are marginalized stay on track for school. And because of that, that led to even more people in the community in this area of Tampa that is easily marginalized feel a greater connection to that taproom. Certainly, Neighborhood Hope is an organization that's near and dear to my heart. So, of course, that's why we started partnering with them a little bit at Noda Brewing Company as well. And something else that mattered to me that I didn't realize mattered to me as much until 2020 was social justice reform. And, of course, in this room we have different people from different parts of the country, and you may feel different ways about that, but it's something that has certainly landed on my heart, and Noda Brewing was able to make a huge impact with Emancipate NC for Juneteenth in 2021. And because of that relationship, that connection, that brought out many more people and many more partners in the community that knew that Noda Brewing cares about more than just the bottom line. And in the end, that's why you're here today, right? Certainly food access, whether you are in a high-end community or you're in an up-and-coming community or a community that has just started gentrifying, there are probably people in your area that could use help with food access. An organization that I like to support is The Bulb. Noda Brewing has done this by simply providing space for the people as well as helping raise donations. And that's something that you can find many ways to do through the Arrived POS system if you happen to use them, and of course other POSs also have that opportunity. Certainly healthcare, you know, every part of the country and the world, people have different ways to connect with healthcare. We've all heard of different nonprofits for cancer awareness or something else of that nature. That's fantastic, but probably in your community there are local nonprofits that really focus on this. Certainly the Isabella Santos Foundation is undoubtedly near and dear to the hearts of the founders of Noda Brewing Company, and it shows in every way. And the more that Noda Brewing Company has tied themselves to the Isabella Santos Foundation, which supports pediatric cancer awareness, so have the partners and individuals that work with Isabella Santos Foundation. And it's been amazing to see how much more people want to give back and remember and think of Noda Brewing Company simply because of Noda Brewing Company's buy-in to the Isabella Santos Foundation. Speaking of buy-in, you know, one of my GMs in Newton, North Carolina, which is a small rural town, had a mother who unfortunately had to go into hospice care. And the local organization there that helps with hospice care is called Carolina Caring. Because that organization supported her family during that tough and trying time, she wanted to find a way to give back to them. So we set them up for success with donations and by giving them space and giving them events, which led to one of the biggest days of the entire first quarter of 2022. Because of the buy-in that she had and because of how much it meant to her, then all of her employees bought in and more people in the community became aware of this organization, Carolina Caring, and everyone else wanted to get on board with it. But Tito, you have an example
as well. Yeah. Something that a lot of people don't actually think about is the cost of the cancer treatments. And in our area, there's a nonprofit called the Karen Chandler Trust that actually helped out one of my operations managers. And what they do is they just raise funds to give to folks that are going through these chemotherapy treatments or facing absurd medical bills. Over the years, we've supported them through different events, one being like a beard and mustache competition called Beardtoberfest. And then this past, I guess 3 weeks ago, we did a beach music festival, which if you're not from North Carolina, you might not be familiar with beach music, but it's pretty large and pretty popular down there. And it brought in swaths of people from different areas, mostly the coastal communities, and a lot older crowd for us. But it's a great way to be able to give back and also kind of generate and reach people that you never thought that you would be able to reach, and also brings them to the forefront in your space itself.
So like Chris mentioned, the pets, the animals, whether you love the animals or not, the people love the animals, and you see it in every community. Obviously, the topic of dogs has had varied opinions in different breweries and tap rooms, and you can see it how you choose to see it. But even if you don't have those dogs there, finding an organization that supports the pets brings the people. And so in Hendersonville, North Carolina, the small rural town, one of my tap rooms was looking for ways to connect with a local organization. I said, I need you to pick one that means something to you. And the GM said, all right, the Blue Ridge Humane Society. And, of course, every one of your communities has some form of the Humane Society. He wound up turning on the donation feature for them to round up. It didn't cost the brewery any money, and it was something very easy to do for the entire month. And I said, all right, if you're going to do this for the month, then you should also see if you can have a single night where you can get the people to come out and talk about the importance of their organization, and you can share about why you chose that organization. Get it all together and give them a night to just really get their voice out there, which is a great way to support that organization. In doing that, many people that were connected with the local Humane Society also came out and spent their dollars. And that wound up being the busiest Thursday night of the last 2 years for the organization. And it was all because he wanted to give them an opportunity to get their voice out there. It didn't cost any extra money at all. Certainly with Noda Brewing Company in Charlotte, an organization that we had partnered was the Carolina Boxer Rescue. Again, doesn't matter if you care about boxers, doesn't matter if you care about dogs at all. But the people that care about boxers care about boxers. And so, absolutely, this organization continuously, every single time that we'd given them an opportunity to get their voice out there, they show up and they spend their extra money. That is a bump in revenue that any of our tap rooms could stand to use. And it certainly outweighs any of the negatives in that case. Here's the layup for you. All right. One of the easiest things you can do, no matter which organization or no matter where your tap rooms are located in this country, is support community beautification. If you're in a large city, small town, cleaning up the streets around your brewery is something that really doesn't cost a lot of money. There's an initiative called Keep America Beautiful, where they actually federally fund, even in local communities, the litter picker-upper tools, the trash bags, the reflective vests that you need to help clean up the streets all around where you are. It doesn't cost you any money at all. All it costs is volunteer labor hours. And that makes an impact in your community in ways that the people that may think of you as that brewery that's gentrifying their neighborhood, that's forcing them out, can actually help show them that you do care about where they are. You're passing by the houses of these people. You're passing by the local small businesses around, and you're helping clean up the areas around them as well. So doing this, taking time to do this, I think is something that is one of the lowest cost ways to impact your community. Tito, you've done this recently as well.
Yeah, we actually just hosted our first Earth Day cleanup, and It just pays back dividends for you and your business as well, because it not only engages your patrons and keeps them involved in the area, but it also helps to beautify the area leading up to your business.
So obviously we've all seen events done different ways, and we think of events as ways to generate funds, and certainly that can be done on-site and off-site. Here you see there are certainly baby showers, there are second birthdays, there are retirement parties, graduation parties, all sorts of stuff like that. But the point is, by providing the space, like Chris said, by providing the space, you are creating opportunities and memories for people to think of your brewery. Even before I worked for Noda Brewing Company, I had probably had 5-6 different friends that had hosted baby showers, wedding rehearsals, bachelor parties, et cetera, at the brewery and at the tap room. And forever, people remember and think of Noda Brewing Company from their memories of events like this. So that's why I fully support the social events, but also the nonprofit events. Getting back to it, you're going to keep hearing the words nonprofits. Pictured here is Pink Pint Night. It's an annual event that happens with Noda Brewing Company, with an organization that simply helps provide mammograms for individuals that couldn't otherwise afford the healthcare. No matter where you are in the city, or no matter where you are in the country, there's probably something similar, or there should be, and you can help start that conversation. But while it may seem like just another nonprofit event, this actually annually leads to one of the biggest Thursdays of the entire year, or at least did historically, for Noda Brewing Company. And I mean five-digit difference of one of the biggest. So I fully support that. Certainly, off-site events, of course, we've all seen festivals. Whether you are a small brewery or a large brewery, I still believe in supporting festivals. If you're a small brewery, of course, it's a great way to get your name out there. If you are a larger brewery that already has regional distribution or beyond, it still shows the people that you actually care about that community where you're located. So don't forget that, no matter how much you start increasing your distribution, because again, the people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care, right? And pictured here, Human Rights Campaign. Regardless of how you feel about it, there are plenty of people in this country that want their voice to be heard, and there are plenty of people in this country that don't believe that breweries or tap rooms support their voice being heard. By simply providing a space for them to do so, brings more people that have buy-in to your brewery and tap room. Maybe you've heard of sports. You may not be sports fans. You may not care about sports teams, but I personally love to attend the sports. So, of course, you can see here with Noda Brewing Company, I found ways to enjoy beers at the local NBA basketball game, the Charlotte Hornets. Certainly, there's beer at the NFL team, the Carolina Panthers. Certainly the minor league baseball team, and now there's even a major league soccer team. You may not have all of these in your city or your community. It's okay. Even if you show up at the small local, small 3,000 seating sporting venue, having your beer there helps people think of you as something that's associated with the beer. And the more you do that for your community, the more buy-in there is to think of you and your product. So if you can find a way to do it on the large scale with the professional teams, great. But even if you only have the small teams, you can do it. So there's more. There is a time in 2020 where we thought of our healthcare workers as heroes. We may have all forgotten about that. I am sure that no matter where your community is located, there are healthcare workers. Something that my dear friend Jordan with Arrived told me about that I thought was a great idea, which I have since started passing on to other tap rooms, is having a night to support your healthcare workers, because it brings people out. I don't know if anyone's ever connected with nurses, doctors, PAs. My wife is a PA, and absolutely, they love finding different breweries and tap rooms to come spend their money. And it's all on a corporate budget. So why not find a way to celebrate your healthcare workers? You can do this with teachers. You can do this with first responders. Noda Brewing at one point even brewed a beer for Christian McCaffrey's organization, 22andYou. And this beer helped support healthcare workers in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Denver, Colorado. And the people went crazy buying it up. And it was great to see, because healthcare workers, again, are in all of our communities. Chris mentioned sponsorship. This was a new lesson that I had just started learning in 2021 about the value and the importance of it. And it's something that I've quickly started passing on to all of my tap rooms now. There are organizations, if you are in a large city like Charlotte, North Carolina, certainly in banking, the large banks love getting their name on things. If you are in a small rural town, I am assured that that local insurance agent or real estate agent wants to get their face and their name on items. So that could be as simple as getting it on T-shirts, could be getting it on glassware, anything for special events, something small. Again, it doesn't have to be on your dime alone. Like Chris said, other people are happy to spend money, and it further connects you to that community. Open mic night, it's a concept that's not new. You've all thought of it before. Comedy shows, it's a concept that's not new. You've all thought of it before. There is something that may not be applicable to everyone here, but if you are in a larger city, there is something called SoFar Sounds. And that is in large metropolitans around the country. With SoFar Sounds, they love creating intimate shows with a few different musicians or bands in unexpected locations, and they tend to be secret locations. But if you get to do this, it's a great way to bring people from another part of town that may not have ever made it over to your part of the city to come check your space out, and they'll think of it for long term. With comedy shows, you know, whether you like the comedians or not, it is a great way to give someone an opportunity to get their voice out. You never know when they might be discovered. Similarly, I guess something like that could happen with open mics, right, Chris?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of my recurring musicians now that I found at our open mic night several years ago. And one band was a band of brothers, and I actually wrote them their first check they ever received for performing music. And now they're playing all over town and in the triad. And just, it's very awesome to see somebody get out into what they want to do.
Yep. So next is a concept that is becoming more popular at breweries and tap rooms. And if you are in a really progressive city, you've probably seen this everywhere now. I don't know how it's caught on like fire. If you are in a town that is not so progressive, you may think of this as a contentious topic, and you may think the people in our community won't support it. But I assure you that drag shows will absolutely bring out tons of guests that may have never considered your tap room before, no matter what your mission is. Drag shows are a great way to show inclusivity.
Yeah, that's right. So we've worked very hard in our area to actually make our space an accessible and inclusive space. There's a ton of people from different walks of life that live in our community, and we've just found a way to kind of bring them all together and have them all focus on our area being better, just because everybody's together. We've hosted a Puerto Rican festival called a Chinchorreo, and that was an eye-opening experience, because we'd expected about 1,500 folks, and we ended up having closer to 5,000 people on our property. It's great to see it, because we had folks that were coming from as far as New York and as far south as Miami. And they were all in our space, and for a lot of them, it was their first time actually being in a brewery. They didn't even grasp the concept that the beer was actually made on the equipment that they could see through the window. So it's awesome to be able to see the look on their faces and watch them have a great time without any incidences or anything negative coming from it, really. We've recently started hosting the Juneteenth celebration kickoffs for our community as well, and that's something that's near and dear to my heart, just being both Black and Puerto Rican, being able to be part of those festivities just kind of brings it back full circle for us. The drag shows, like Jamar mentioned, at first were getting us a little bit of flack online, but once we took a stand and let our community know that that attitude and that sentiment was not going to be tolerated in our space, it just kind of fell by the wayside, and now it's a monthly event for us that brings out folks that sometimes that's the only time that I see them, and other times, you know, they might come back three or four times in that same week just because they had such a good time at that event. We do pride ourselves on being family friendly. A lot of that is from the space that we've actually recently moved into. We've got about 6 acres, and there's a kids park for them to run around and a dog park. So it's literally just a space where everyone can come out and spend, have a great time, and they can spend the entire day there. Throughout the year, we are focused on, or we are doing community-minded events. You know, they're all free. So we do our Oktoberfest as one, and then we paired up with an organization called Continuing the Mission that actually trains dogs for veterans with PTSD, and they actually put on a Highland Scottish Games, which was actually pretty cool to watch because they were throwing sabers and keg tosses, and it's something I've never experienced before, but we had folks out, and it raised a ton of money for the nonprofit itself, and I actually did get to give back because one of the dogs was named after a dear friend of mine that I lost back in 2021, and that dog specifically required quite a bit of money to train, so the organization was able to do that within the year that we hosted that Scottish Games to train that dog fully and actually get it into the hands of a family that needed it. And something that we hold very dear to our hearts is our farmers market that we host, and that's usually 40 to 45 vendors every week, and it's all goods and goods that are made and sold from within 100 miles of our brewery. And for a lot of these farmers, it's actually their means to get into a larger retail space, being able to support their families and hopefully grow their farms so that generations to come can also profit off of their way of life. Even with all of these plans and all these events that we do, there's bound to be something that goes wrong, no matter how hard you plan.
Yes, something will go wrong if it is allowed to. So I know one of our events that kind of left a bad taste in our mouth was a company wanted to have this band out, have an event for all of their clients and the rest of the community. And we said, well, it needs to be a fundraiser. And it was in one of the lulls of COVID. And we did everything to make it not a crowded event. We put it on a Sunday afternoon in November outside, gave everyone plenty of room. And it ended up being a rare 78-degree day, so a lot of people came out. The band that they booked had a very big following, and we ended up finding out a little too late that they played in every CD joint that had no COVID restrictions in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. So 2 days after the event, they posted on their personal Facebook page that they had COVID, didn't try to contact any of the places they had been recently, and didn't even return any calls when we tried to contact them. So it left a really bad taste in our mouth, and it made us very hesitant to ever work with that band ever again.
Yeah, we tried to host a dog adoption event where we actually had the dogs out on the campus, and one of the dogs managed to get away and actually attacked another dog and one of the other dog's handlers. So it's very important to remember to that your patron safety is in your hands with some of these events and to not open yourself up to liability issues.
So it's 2022, and we are still talking about the importance of codes of conduct. Hopefully you've attended a session by now, or you've heard a panel somewhere that talked about the importance of a code of conduct. But if you have not yet, you're going to hear it one more time today. By having these codes of conducts. It's a great way to help set the stage and make sure that you are on the same page with your partners, your vendors, your guests that come in, and your employees as well. By having these codes of conduct in place, it makes it very easy to hold these partners accountable, and you can easily let someone know that they aren't welcome back because they don't fit with the vibe that you're trying to create with your code of conduct. This also works with the nonprofits that you partner with, as well as the other organizations with whom you choose to partner.
Yeah, so we recently had an organization that applied to be part of our nonprofit highlight of the week for our Sunday market. And when we looked into the company itself, it had a very innocuous name. It turned out to be closer to a militia than they wanted to come out and give out information, and we had to kindly decline their application. But we do our best to kind of distance ourselves and just let folks know that the dividing your community isn't going to help anything. It's not inclusive, especially. So just in the back of your head, realize that some of these partners that you might take could have a lasting effect on your reputation in your area.
So I believe it's important to vet each and every one of your partners, the same way that you want to do checks and screening on your employees. You also want to do that with your partners. I believe that the risk that it mitigates is so important. The last thing you want to do is find out that you were the location at XYZ Brewery where such and such person that became a huge liability to the rest of the community, got their big start and that you supported them. That's not what you're about. You are trying to be a taproom-minded or a community-minded taproom. And when you think of community, that also means being a little wise and exercising discretion with whom you choose to partner.
And make sure you don't overcommit yourself. I know we ran into this past spring. We were busy opening a second location, and we had a lot of causes that were really important to us, and we accidentally fit them all in the same month. So while we had different can sale donations and fundraiser nights, and we were writing checks left and right for worthy causes, while we're also trying to purchase a whole new brewery system. And, not only is it a financial strain, but it's a lot of strain on your managers that are planning these and also your staff. You're trying to train new ones, and you're putting all these events on top of one when they're not really ready yet. So it's okay to say, hey, we want to support you, but we need to wait a couple months.
Many of us here tend to think of our business as providing customer service, at least in the taproom side. We often think of customer service as a way to say, the customer is always right. And that adage is not a great adage if you want to set up a successful long-term taproom. Really, hospitality is what you want to drive for. And with hospitality, it's the idea of treating guests that come into your taproom like guests that would come into your own home. And when someone comes into your own home, of course, you want them to feel comfortable. You want them to be able to kick their feet back. You want them to be able to have a beverage, maybe something to eat. But when someone starts disrespecting your home, it's not the time to say, yes, you're right. That's the time to say, you're wrong and you can't do that in my home. And maybe if you keep doing what's wrong in my home, I'm going to ask you to leave. If you're not doing that in your personal lives, at least do it in your tap rooms to protect your tap room. And it's not just doing what's right for that guest. It's doing what's right and what's best for the guest as a whole. Of course, you can think of many examples where that might apply. So
what's next after we've been talking about what we've been doing? I know we just opened a second location, and we're really excited to do a lot of these community events in a slightly different way. So keep bringing people in, but we have more opportunities, more space out there. We have a whole new demographic and clientele that's out there. Some of them go back and forth between the two locations, but it is actually reaching new customers in the community. And we're really excited to try and get some local club involvement where it's a win-win for the club, maybe do some outreach for a lot of the youth in the area. And, certainly we want it to benefit the brewery too. That's the whole point of bringing your community in, is it helps you and it helps them.
An idea that started when I was at Noda Brewing Company was finding ways to also help support other local businesses in your area. Our founder had put in my head the idea of a local bookshop nearby that had been virtual, actually, which was a really cool concept. But we thought, what if our space that isn't really being used during the day before we open the tap room, what if that provided a space for this local bookshop that is virtual to actually be on site? And then we thought about, what about local pop-up market vendors like a plant shop, a plant lady? What if they were able to do something in our tap room during the day when we're not open? And then certainly with Bevana, we're supporting other local businesses by helping operate a couple of coffee shops during the day. A coffee shop in a taproom space is something that's not an easy undertaking, but once it's set up, it's a great way to provide more revenue for your brewery and your taproom, and it is also a great way to help a local roaster get their name out there and increase their opportunity in production. Certainly, we've seen something similar to this in Winston-Salem with my dear friend Ray in Foothills. We also have continued to help support one of our restaurants in Tampa, Florida, with an amazing chef who, you know, was looking for a way to get back to the community where he grew up. And as he found our location in West Tampa, he thought, why not? And certainly people love coming to our tap room there just because of his food as well. And then they find out about our great beer, and then we sell more great beer, and people are happy. If you're here, you're probably here because you also care about amplifying more voices. Something about DEI that we often overlook, you know, as we all strive and look to help teach others, it's also important to just allow people to speak up. And by having that space in your tap room, I'm consistently looking for more ways to do this. If that means supporting more members of the LGBTQ plus community, if that means supporting more overlooked minorities in each of my communities, from the rural towns to Tampa, Florida, to uptown Charlotte, or beyond, you know, I want to give more people the opportunity to be seen and to be heard, and your tap rooms have opportunity for that. Something that became a larger focus for me over the last couple of years, thanks to Kelly Weiss from Perkimmonen Brewing in Pennsylvania, is being aware of ADA accessibility in your tap rooms. No matter where you are located, the ADA community encompasses all races, all genders, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all religious decisions, all ethnic backgrounds. I mean, it encompasses every demographic you could possibly imagine. Yet, how often do we set up our breweries and plan our breweries without thinking of the ADA community? So continuously, I keep looking for more and more ways to do this, and I won't stop.
Well, for us in our little corner of North Carolina, we are hoping to be able to create a space where more creatives and just a better community for everyone involved, and to work together with our military population to actually bridge that gap continuously, and hopefully become a pillar in the community altogether. That's it. And up here is our emails, guys. Thank you so much for sitting in our talk. If you've got any questions, please feel free to upload them to the Slido. And we will open it up now.
Okay. First question. Any concerns with linking up with nonprofits that give directly to children? Example, being Little League or things like that?
I think that's going to depend on your local, your state laws. I know in North Carolina, I don't think you can actually advertise the beer company itself on another business's. Like, if you have an ABC permit, basically you can't advertise, you can't cross-advertise. So I think that's going to be something that you're going to have to ask your local governance.
Yeah,
with my former company, we were certainly approached to be one of the vendors for a local Little League baseball tournament. And again, because we weren't promoted or advertised or anything of that nature, we found it legally compliant to be able to do, even though it was an event for the kids, with the kids. By simply being there, we were able to get our name out there and be connected. And that's kind of the idea behind that. I think we can move on from that question, and if that's a good enough answer, certainly you can reach out to us later. Any concerns with, do you recommend setting aside a percentage of your revenue to try to donate on an annual basis? In other words, do you have a live team in your budget for giving back to local nonprofits? I say if you don't, or I'm sorry, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So yeah, you absolutely, much like in your home budget, should not just willy-nilly be throwing out money to donate to nonprofits. You should build it into your budget, of course.
I would also recommend doing it on a monthly basis, just because obviously if you're so seasonal and outdoors like we are, we have a lot more room to donate May, June, July, and August than we do in January, February, December. So it's probably better to do it bi-monthly instead of bi-yearly.
Love the idea of a roundup day or month. How do you manage your POS system for this? And is this in lieu of or in conjunction with staff tips? So, you know, I think I referred to doing that with the arrived POS system. If your current POS system does not have functions like this, then you need to start asking them for it until they do. How many of us have been to grocery stores or the local pharmacy, and every time you get ready to close out, you know, you see that prompt there and people don't think anything of it. It's very simple. So with the arrived POS system, which I am clearly pretty loyal, the arrived POS system actually makes it very simple to separate it from revenue earned for tips and actual net sales, and separate from taxes as well. It's a separate line item, and it easily syncs with QuickBooks. So yeah, it would not affect tips or other revenue earned.
I actually, before arrived, got the donation function. I asked them to do basically just an open amount option. So the days where we had a dollar for every Honey Blonde sold, if somebody didn't want that beer, they could still add a dollar, or there was some people that would say, whatever my tab is, just double it and donate the rest. And so we would just open amount, whatever amount they wanted, and then we could look up the donation because it was its own item in the system. And then we would add it to whatever we donated to when we wrote the check. So that's an option if you don't have arrived.
So I believe the next question is, how often would you recommend doing a big scale festivals or markets compared to smaller events with brew pub spaces? What are the benefits of each? So now that I have several different tap rooms with several different styles, and one is a brew pub and the rest are tap rooms, something that I've been pushing for each one of my general managers and events managers and marketing is to make sure that we at least have something that is of notable consideration each quarter. That is something that you know, I think will help keep things fresh in people's minds. But not exhaust your staff. I want something to be notable quarterly, but I also want certain things that are annual, something that people look forward to and start planning a year out thinking about that one event. And I want those to be large, and I want them to be marketed and talked about for several months. Recently, I started getting targeted ads for, you know, a huge music festival that's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina. As it turns out, it's for this September event called the Queen City Jam Session, hosted by Noda Brewing. And that's in September, but I'm getting these targeted ads showing up on my page now. And you know what? People are going to be talking about it for months. I recently had my next door neighbor, who's 65 years old, who doesn't go to breweries and doesn't care about breweries, started asking me about this event that she heard of, that was a low country boil that was being hosted at Noda Brewing Company. And it's like, are you kidding me? This thing has been on the internet and has been talked about for months now. And that was one of those larger quarterly events, but it took marketing well in advance. And I think by your marketing, you can dictate what the benefit and the return will be. You know, the best way to predict the future is to create the future, right?
I think you're going to have to work with your space and actually figure out what works for you. Typically for our larger events, we try and keep them down to, like Jamar saying, about every quarter. And then for the other events, as long as you keep it consistent, once a month or up to every like third week or something like that. It all depends on what your actual patrons are going to stomach and hopefully not get tired of, because if you start noticing you diminished attendance to these events, and maybe either A, you're not marketing it enough, or they're just not, it's a kind of a dud, so.
All right, we have just a few minutes left, but how do you navigate political meet and greet type of events without showing an outward support of a candidate or political party? For the tough questions, we're going to leave that to Chris.
We actually don't allow any political events at our space at all. We don't even put any campaign news on the TVs or any kind of elections on the TVs. We just don't do it. There was only one time that a lady got upset that I wouldn't put the election on, and she said, well, I'll just go somewhere else. And I said, all right, see you when the election's over then. We just don't even go there.
And with NODA, you know, we'd always said, we stay out of politics. We don't touch it. We don't. But then all of a sudden in 2020, June 2020, there's this incident with the murder of George Floyd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, it almost became cliche to see all the organizations that were, you know, making statements and speaking about it. And we as an organization had to decide in a senior leadership meeting whether or not we were going to make a statement or not. And for me personally, I realized that, you know, this isn't about politics. In this case, this was
civil.
This was life. And, you know, tap rooms and brew pubs may not be saving lives, but they are adding quality to people's lives. And if you were to be community-centered, when the people in your community hurt, you should also feel that hurt, and you should also feel that pain. So the brewery did decide to make a statement because, again, it's about the people in your community as well. However, that is quite different from just having a politician around, and there are plenty of politicians in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they always have something to say year-round, and there are certainly politicians that appreciate and support the brewery, but the brewery does not outwardly say that, like, hey, you know, this is our politician for this.
This is who we're voting for.
But when those politicians choose to show up at the brewery in the tap room, and they choose to have photographers there taking pictures, then, you know, that's on them. That's great. Yeah, that's great publicity for us, but we aren't outwardly saying that this is our politician.
You don't schedule them coming there.
I think we might have one more that we can do. What suggestions do you have for building deep, ongoing relationships with nonprofits? We want to engage the whole nonprofit org/ the population they serve.
I think for that one, it would be establishing both boundaries and expectations between both organizations. And then beside that, setting goals, like realistic goals for each one of you. So if they're not meeting an expectation, and you guys have at least a course of action, or it opens up a dialogue where you can say, hey, this is what I was expecting from this event or from us working together in this partnership. How are we going to get there? What are the things that you're bringing to the table? This is what I'm bringing to the table. How do we meet in the middle? Because we've worked with some nonprofits, and you try to have those conversations, but if they're not established in the beginning, then there's not really a way for them. It's just, they can just kind of shuck it, and so, you know, you end up not working with them again, but it doesn't mean that that population or the organization itself doesn't deserve to get help or get funding. So just keep that in the back of your head, I'd say.
And meet with them again and again. Like, yeah. If you choose to have them back, make sure you address what needs to be changed from the year before. And I know there's a couple other local businesses that I was on the fence working with, and so he kept coming at me with a different idea, and he said, you know, I want to prove to you that I'm somebody that you can trust and that you want to work with in the future. So, like, give them a couple chances to earn your trust and work together. If they want to work with you, they will work with you.
Yeah, I think there's no quick fix way to build those connections and strengthen those relationships. You know, much like my marriage, before I was able to get to the point of my wife and I being committed for long term, it took me showing up and actually having those dates and having those conversations. And it's the same thing with the partnerships with your nonprofits that you want. You know, it's going to be continual, ongoing. If you want it to be long-term, you have to put in the work for it to be long-term, whatever may be important. I could probably go on for hours with ways that you can build that, but we can cover that through email or a separate conversation.
Next year, CBC.
And I think that's all the time we have. Again, our emails are up here on the screen.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.